employees they were closing shop because Bank of America would no longer extend Republic a line of credit. Bank of America wouldn't confirm that due to confidentiality concerns. Workers say the fact that Bank of America received $25 billion in the federal bailout makes this even more unacceptable.
If you're going to fight this new gilded age that we're going into, you're going to need community radio more than ever. You're not going to get this kind of hard-hitting exposure. So this is of vital importance that you support community radio, vitally important, especially as the threat of a second dip in a worldwide recession looms ahead.
Tonight, Mike Cadell and Radio Free Kansas.
This is Greg Palast, author of Vulture's Picnic, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, your weapon of mass instruction in the beating heart of America.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. Stay tuned now for Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer.
Somebody, www.tellsomebody.us, on Twitter at Tell Somebody Now. This is your host, Tom Clammer. If you have any comments or questions on this show, drop me a line at mail@tellsomebody.us. The podcast of last week's show on the March Against Monsanto has been posted. Go to www.tellsomebody.us and click on a tile for a link to a past show. In solidarity with Free Bradley Manning actions occurring worldwide during the first week of his court-martial trial, Kansas City Bradley Manning supporters will be rallying at 33rd or Linwood and Broadway in front of the National VFW headquarters, 1 p.m. this Saturday, June 8th. Look for the International Bradley Manning Solidarity Kansas City Rally page on Facebook. KKFI's pledge drive begins this Friday, and Tell Somebody will be in pledge drive mode next Tuesday, June 11th. I hope you'll tune in next Tuesday and think about phoning in a donation. And if you're one of the podcast listeners in over 90 countries around the world, you too can easily and securely make a donation. Just go to www.kkfi.org and click on a donate button. And those of you in the Kansas City area, if you value what you hear on this station, think about getting involved with it. Our board and standing committee meetings are open to the public. This is your radio station. Get involved with it. On with the show. On Michael Cadell's Blog Talk Radio webpage, it says, "The Voice of Kansas, an independent, free-for-all press in northeast Kansas, infamous among conservatives in the flyover zone for hoisting their credo on a spike, famous among progressives for foisting their foibles into the sunlight. Blogging on three radio blogs almost daily, 3 years and over 400 shows on Blog Talk Radio, Radio Free Kansas has become a radical voice from the barnyard for political mud wrestling. Hillbilly anarchist, homegrown hippie, and or left-wing libertarian, call us what you will. We love lobbing literary hand grenades over the heads of stonewalling careerists in the political arena. I've been an occasional listener to Cadell's Radio Free Kansas for a couple of years now, and I got on the phone with him yesterday to talk about it. Give a listen.
You're listening to Tell Somebody. This is Tom Clamer, and I am talking on the phone to Michael Cadell, the voice of Kansas, Radio Free Kansas, Blue Barn Radio. Mike Cadell, welcome to Tell Somebody.
Hi. Hello, Tom. Fan of your show, Tell Somebody.
Well, thank you. And likewise to you. I don't get to listen as often as I would like, but when I do, I am always entertained and informed and enjoy it a lot.
Well, mine's not, let me clarify, mine's not really a real radio show like your great station, KKFI. It's an internet-based thing, but it's turned into quite a operation here after several years.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and journalism and how you ended up doing this. Give us a little history here.
Well, let's see. I got the bug for journalism years ago. We're talking in the 1980s when I during the years of Ronald Reagan. And I, matter of fact, would write freelance articles. Unfortunately, I was never bylined, but I was published in a couple of old listeners would consider them left-wing newspapers. And I think one was on the collapse of the Hyatt Regency Hotel years and years ago here in Kansas City. And another one was on a series of protests staged by Father Carl Cabot. It was one of the experiences, life-changing experiences for me, watching some a Roman Catholic priest named Father Carl Cabot and a couple other people. They called themselves the Silo Pruning Hooks, and they went out with a jackhammer and jackhammered the missile silo lids just outside Kansas City, several miles. And Father Cabot, he ended up doing, I think, 12 years, maybe 16 years hard time, but I watched him do that, knowing full well I'll do it, and then would stand there and wait for the, it took him quite a while for the MPs to come arrest him from the Air Force Base. But in either thing, it was writing that article really pushed me towards, and getting to know the people. I met Sam Day with Progressive Magazine back then, and I began to get involved in the, into progressive dissident politics from a left persuasion from that point on. Then a year time passed, I was writing, and I started publishing and editing some country newspapers for 3 years out in Pottawatomie County. And I was very controversial thing, because what I did is I injected, for instance, I published verbatim speeches by then Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn. A lot of people out in the countryside really resented that in their hometown country weeklies. Plus, I published articles on organic farm growing, organic farms that were not popular in the country weekly papers. And that went on for 3 years. It was basically a slow death of going broke.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun doing it, and I learned a lot about running printing presses and things like that, which I did during thereafter and before running printing presses and stuff. And a few, would be 6 years ago, roughly. August 2nd, 2007 is our anniversary. August 2nd is coming up. I learned about internet radio, and I remember the first show I did, several shows I did, we were just weekly, once a week, and it was, I was so nervous that I was, one of my buddies who helped me do it, learn how to do it on the internet, I was sweating like crazy. It's a Radio Free Kansas operates through the Blog Talk Radio Network, which is a unique service that is not a podcast. It becomes a podcast, but it's actually a telephone call-in radio show that you can do, that people can, listeners can call in and listen. And the power of the medium is, and the technology is just now sort of coming to fruition after, 6 years since starting it. And now I'm broadcasting 7 days a week, as much as I can, and usually have a pretty quite a full switchboard going on. Mm-hmm. So it's a great thing. It's one of the things I'm really sort of happy that I took on and stuck with.
Yeah. And how does somebody not already familiar with your work find it? Where do they go?
Well, just Google. Everybody knows how to Google, or Scroogle, or whatever you do. And just Google Radio Free Kansas or Bulk Talk Radio.
Radio Free Kansas.
Hit that on Google, on the search engine. Show up right there near the top. Radio Free Kansas, Blog Talk Radio, which is all one, no spaces. I bought another simple way that I now my news aggregator. I have a blog. I have a series of blogs: the Scumfoot Magazine and the Leroy Reporter. But the main another one that operates off of Radio Free Kansas is called Fightin' Cock Flyer, which is another thing I started. That started in 1990. Let's say it'd be 1998, I think. I started a blog called Fightin' Cock Flyer, and that's where I went from. That's where I started, actually. That's where I started blogging, you know, several years before I started the internet radio show. So.
And that's fighting without a G on the end.
Without a G, because the saying is we have. And I work out of North Jefferson County, Kansas, and fighting without a G because it's we have damn little God and our damn little God and very poor grammar at out here in North Jefferson, Kansas, fighting cockfire.
Yeah. And Jefferson County, Kansas, that's the county that Lawrence is in, but you're rural.
Well, no, actually, we're 38 miles north of Lawrence, just as literally as the crow flies. And Jefferson County is really interesting. It's centrally located almost smack dab in the middle between Atchison, Topeka, Kansas City, and Lawrence. There's sort of a triangulation there. And we also pride ourselves in North Jefferson County as not being anything like South Jefferson County. It's sort of a funny rivalry, but... Yeah.
And you cover a lot of local, regional Kansas issues, but also national, and you carry, what, Free Speech Radio News and The Real News with Paul Jay and what else?
Well, Paul Jay I don't do regularly because, that's actually the Real News Network. But what I do is I'll take occasional broadcasts and use that to promote that network or that source. Now, Free Speech Radio News, I have a relationship with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg to broadcast their show. Theirs is Building Bridges, their community labor report out of WBAI FM New York City. And Free Speech Radio News is through the Pacifica network, but also carried on a lot of alternative or community radio stations throughout the country. And one of the reasons I'm particularly enamored to Free Speech Radio News is because they really are grassroots, and they are a collective ran by reporters, started during a labor strike of reporters. And it's just one of those militant organizations that has a militant history that I really enjoy. Plus the quality of the broadcasting, it's just bang up stuff. And, Our weekday shows begin at 6 to 8 a.m. And again, you can call this show in or you can listen to it over the net on our live stream for 2 hours. And we usually begin with headlines and finish the show with the complete current broadcast of Free Speech Radio News. I'm really, really attached to Free Speech Radio News.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. We carry their headlines. We used to carry the whole show. I wish we still did on KKFI. But
well, that's, you know, I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons I'm doing it is because I know KKFI isn't carrying the full 30 minutes, but that's okay. At least something for me out here. I wish I could say KKFI's radio signal was reliable out here. We're 110 miles or more away from you. And it depends on the weather. And KKFI is, just to its credit, one of the great, great resources for people in the northeast part of Kansas and the Kansas City metro area. I try to listen to it online as much. A lot of people out here are still on copper wire connections for their internet out here, unfortunately, in the rural area. I'm not, but, I mean, I'm spending money for this, so.
Yeah. And do you have some sense of your listenership, who they are, how many you've got?
Yeah, the net, fortunately, the network does great counts. And we average on our, now we've been doing, started this early morning, I call it early bird, and it's actually co-hosted by different people each day of the week. There's different co-hosts I'm developing who are coming on and running it. So, but every time the show airs, there's counters at the network in New York City, and we average usually anywhere from 30 to 50 live listeners, and maybe half of that are actually people who call in with their cell phones and listen while they're going to work from 6 to 8 a.m. And for about a 24 to 72 hour period, people download shows, and we average literally between 300 to 500 downloads every morning for every show. And on the weekends, we do Saturday High Noon, I do, and Secular Sunday, and those two shows average about 300 to 500. So we have a pretty loyal listenership of up to 500. I've had a lot of guests on. One of them, I'm proud to say, a frequent guest on Radio Free Kansas. Tell somebody, listeners will know, a former retired senior CIA analyst, Ray McGovern, one of our true heroes. Tom?
Amen to that. I'm a big fan and consider myself a good friend of his, and really appreciate what he puts out. Listeners can go to consortiumnews.com. He's got a new one out just today or yesterday about Bradley Manning.
Mm-hmm.
He's on other shows on KKFI. I've heard him on Law and Disorder and a couple other shows on KKFI recently, and just a good guy. He's also got his own website now, raymcgovern.com. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've
tried.
Gotten on the internet and listened to him on your show, as well as enjoyed having him on my own.
Yeah, I don't get him on as much as I used to, but it's no problem because he is a friend, and because I know that he shows up at your place, and he's all over the country. So I pretty well get a good chance of downloading his stuff, and if I have a permit, I'll usually run his stuff. And Bob Perry, Consortium News, that's another frequent guest, Dave Lindorf and his buddies at the Online News Collective, thiscan'tbehappening.net, they're on regularly as guests. I've had the late Chalmers Johnson on. I'd actually developed quite a friendship with him. I did not realize how conservative he was, among other people, but he really was a great guy. I've had Dr. Michael Perini on a couple times. He's going to come on here in the next week or so in a session I've had with him. Andy War, Mom, Cindy Sheehan, there are just lots and lots of people I've had on as guests over the years. And it's, like I said, it's really turned into a labor of love for me.
Yeah, and I, just one show I happened to catch a couple years ago, just in the last week or two on Democracy Now!, they did another story on this door and window company in Chicago that made kind of a national splash a couple of years ago. Some mainstream media sort of picked it up. You got better coverage on alternative media, more detailed and informative.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Well, in labor news, we go now to Chicago. Workers at the New Era Windows Cooperative are celebrating the grand opening of their unionized, 100% worker-owned and operated business. Almost a year to the day after their window factory closed, a group of former workers have launched their own window business without bosses. They successfully raised money to buy the factory collectively and run it democratically.
In 2008, some of the workers were involved in a famous six-day sit-in after Republic Windows and Doors gave workers just 3 days' notice before closing the factory. The sit-in drew national attention. Union workers reached a settlement where they each received $6,000. The Goose Island plant, run by Sirius Energy, faced a second occupation in 2012. About 65 workers occupied the factory in an attempt to save their jobs again. This is an excerpt of a documentary produced by the Workers' Union, United Electrical, Radio, and Machine Workers of America.
They gave us like an hour, more or less. They came and said, okay, time, you have your papers, now go. That's when we said, no, we're not leaving. This is where we're staying.
So we decided, we just said, well, hey, we're going to stay here until, you know, y'all give us some better answers than this.
This is a group ready for a fight.
We put it to a vote, and workers decided that they will be staying in the plant for the remainder of the weekend.
More than 200 of Republic Window and Doors' 300 union workers are staging a sit-in of sorts until they get what is legally owed to them. The union says company officials told employees they were closing shop because Bank of America would no longer extend Republic a line of credit. Bank of America wouldn't confirm that due to confidentiality concerns. Workers say the fact that Bank of America received $25 billion in the federal bailout makes this even more unacceptable.
I'm going to stay until the end. If they tell me I have to leave, well, they have to arrest me.
You're prepared to be arrested.
I'm prepared to be arrested if it's necessary.
No nos vamos. Aquí estamos.
Translation, we are here and we are not going anywhere.
We've been here overnight. We've been here since yesterday and we aren't going anywhere. We are committed to this.
Melvin Lackland is one of dozens of Republic Windows and Doors workers who is staying put in the company's cafeteria until he gets his remaining vacation, health care, and severance pay.
You got bailed!
We got sold!
These workers, if they have earned these benefits and their pay, then these companies need to follow through on those commitments.
Workers all around the nation who are now facing massive layoffs, it's your job, it's your plant. Stay there and fight for them until justice comes, and justice will come.
That last voice, Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jesse Jackson, excerpts from a video produced by the Workers' Union, United Electrical Radio Machine Workers of America. We're joined now by two of the workers featured in that video.
But the first I heard of that story was listening to your show. I think you were talking to a guy live or a woman live in the facility. Tell us a little bit about that one.
That was a really great show. And this is another example of the power of Blog Talk Radio. And my show, Radio Free Kansas, the reach is really out there. People with a cell phone literally can get on the show. And there's a young man who was down in St. Louis, Illinois, and he somehow got a tip that this thing in Chicago was coming down. It basically it was a workers who decided to not leave and abandon the factory after they all got laid off and thrown their final check, their severance check, which was nothing. It wasn't even the amount they were supposed to get. And they stayed and staged a sit down, and he got word of that. I don't know how, but he was hightailing it. He called me and he said we're buddies. And he took off. It was Michael Franklin who did that. He took off and went north to Chicago, which is sort of like going from the south end of Kansas to Kansas City, Missouri. And got to Chicago and was outside in the sidewalk. And just he was a very aggressive young man. He used to have his own podcast versus a call-in show. And he got the lady on of the labor union that was advising these men and women who had taken over the factory. And later on, President Obama got involved in it. I think this was during, right after he was elected or right before sometime. Obama, actually, to his credit, sided with the sit-down workers, and they actually reached an agreement with these creeps, creepy owners who were selling the company off and jobbing it out to some foreign country. And I was right on the ground, right outside the place where it was happening. We were talking with people who were participating in it and who were holding the factory. That was one of the live hookups that is dynamic about the technology I use at Radio Free Kansas. So this last weekend we had literally a live hookup by telephone from the gates of Fort Meade as John Grant, Veteran for Peace, member of the This Can't Be Happening news collective, he was literally marching in the demonstration and calling as the demonstration was occurring, talking about what he was seeing and hearing on live on Radio Free Kansas. We also had, during the, I'm trying to remember when the Republican National Convention, I think it was at Milwaukee or Minneapolis, there a contingent of the anarchist contingent. We had a person calling in and talking about literally as the tear gas is being launched at them, what was going on, and we've had some hot moments on Radio Free Kansas. Usually on Saturdays when we do a really live broadcast, but this move to early morning, 6 to 8 a.m. during the weekday, may turn into that too, where we have some hot telephone live moments.
A couple weeks ago, Kansas City moved to amend, joined national organizations have moved to amend, doing banner drops and observing the 127th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision decided corporate personhood. It was just in the head notes, but some justices cited it as precedent as if it had been decided, but you covered some of those Kansas City Friday morning banner drops, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was live as they were happening. There were actually people holding the banners over the, I think one was over a highway overpass. Others were put on the corners of intersections where people couldn't avoid seeing them at stoplights. And it was there. Here these people were calling in. I was really happy to do that, and it was reminded me of some of my good old days. Well, we weren't quite as nice. We just dropped the back run over the over the overpasses, but that was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, yeah, that's right. That's the dynamic of live radio.
Yeah, and this is Tom Clamer. You're listening to Tell Somebody, and we're talking to Michael Cadell. You can read and listen to his work. Put in your search engine Radio Free Kansas and or Fightin', like fighting without a G at the end, Fightin' Cock Flyer, and you'll get right to it. You can listen in live, and sometimes you take listener callers, right? And you archive everything, right?
Oh, yes, and everything's archived. That's correct. The immediate previous five shows are at the Fightin' Cock Flyer blog and Discomfort Magazine, but they're also archived. All of them are archived at the network. It's a Blog Talk Radio Network situation they've got going there. And then, you know, I'm real happy to have that. So I also take the best, what I call the golden oldies, and put them up at the wonderful Internet Archive, which provides a lot of the music, the old-timey music that I play on my show, from the Internet Archive. And I have a spot in there where you can go to and download free a lot of the best shows. And just go to Internet Archive and title search Radio Free Kansas, and it'll take you to dozens of shows that I've done there that I've stored.
Internet Archive, you just put that in
yeah. When you get there, there's billions of files. That's another great Internet service that many people don't know about. Internet Archive is a wonderful service for billions and billions of files. A lot of you Grateful Dead folks out there, you know, you want to catch a bootleg live recording of a Grateful Dead concert that occurred 10 years ago, go to the Internet Archive. Yeah, the Internet Archive is a wonderful place, and that's where I store a lot of my radio shows that I like a lot, the golden oldies that I've done.
Okay, well, I just, as you were speaking, I typed in internetarchive.org, and it came right up, and I put Radio Free Kansas in the search box, and come up with a whole bunch of links to your stuff.
Yep, that's how it works, and I encourage people to use it. They want, the archivists there want us to use that, and I don't know how they store all those files, but they do, and it's really nice. Really nice. It's a public service they provide. You know, Tom, I don't know how long you've done Tell Somebody, but you know, you have a community news edge. I notice you try to put in your stuff, even though I mainly get to listen to the podcast of Tell Somebody. And you've got some really great local coverage. It's only something I could dream of. I try to reach out to the Kansas Farmers Union, even the Kansas Democratic Party. Matter of fact, I am an independent, as they call it, Kansas, unaffiliated. But recently, the Kansas Progressive Caucus of the Kansas Democratic Party voted me. I was nominated and took the position of communication chair for the Kansas Progressive Caucus. And I was really honored to take the position. And it's, of course, it's a volunteer position, but it really is, you know, it's hard to do local news and get a toehold in, because a lot of people, they just consider us little people. Like KKFI is not little, but Tell Somebody, not little. Radio Free Kansas, not little. It's hard to get you know, people who statewide you know, prestige to consider us a fair player. Entitled to, I treat our guests a lot better than the mainstream media, don't you? You know, and I try to be unbiased and ask hard questions, don't you, Tom? I mean, come on, right? I mean, what's going on? We got to fight for this, right?
Yeah, I try to, but to your point, doing local coverage is hard work. I try to do a fair amount of that. I wish I could do more. I wish the station could do more. You know, at the Kansas City Move to Amend gathering a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to speak for 5 minutes, and I tried to make the point about KCPT, the PBS television affiliate, yeah, in Kansas City, just bought a radio station for $1.7 million. They bought the Warrensburg radio station because they know that even in this changing internet world, broadcast radio is still very relevant, and it was worth almost a couple million dollars to them to get this station to, among other things, help promote their TV station. And they see the value of radio, and I think a lot of our listeners, even our fans, take us for granted and don't see the importance and the potential of independent media. You know, you just, in a easily accessible format, you just don't get that kind of information on broadcast radio and television. You got to go to Radio Free Kansas, Fightin' Cock Flyer, or KKFI to get some really valuable information these days.
That's right. I really have had to fight for my audience numbers, and they're growing finally because I made this daytime, the morning decision. But after years and years, I had to stuff to get people. But to the credit of even some Republicans in the Jefferson County political machines here, they'll occasionally come on. My show when I have local segments on, but it's a tough battle because literally these people out here in northeast Kansas, well, most of Kansas, are bombed with Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, And frankly, a lot of people did not know the incredible amount of media monopoly going on years up to right up till the early 90s in Kansas, the state of Kansas. For here's what example: Do I have time to do this?
Oh yeah, let's hear it.
You know, I've sort of specialized over the years since I was running the Country Weekly to watch who owns what and in media, especially the news media. And when Governor Brownback was elected, first got into politics, he married I'm sure she's a very nice lady, and she's not nearly as religious as him, that I know of. Her name is Mary Stauffer, and she comes from the Stauffer family, which the Stauffer was a Stauffer. Stauffers were the a media empire in centered in Topeka, Kansas. They owned the Topeka Capital Journal, WIBW Television, WIBW Radio, several other radio stations, as well as a couple other smaller newspapers. And it was such a large enterprise that when the old guy, who's the patriarch of the Stauffer family, decided to sell it, I think largely because he knew that it was going to have to happen because his son-in-law, Sam Brownback, was going to go in and I think take over an appointment. He was going to get into politics deeply. And he sold it once to a company, and the FCC got involved and said, oh, no, you can't do that. You got to break this up before you sell it. And so he sold it to two companies, both of them, neither one of them are owned in our what we call here in Kansas, they're foreign corporations that are, I think one out of Georgia, I'm pretty sure. And he broke it up and sold his media empire to the two foreign corporations. But it's that way. And if you look in television or radio here in Kansas, you'll find significant numbers are more and more gravitating towards large corporate conglomerates that are foreign owned. And really, the last refuge in the hardest place is the hard copy Country Weekly newspapers, where that's just the last refuge of scoundrels such as me. Really, news media is tough, and my heart goes with you, Tom, for covering. Doing your local community news on your every once in a while on your tell somebody. You always seem to have a whole, you know, like 15-20 minute where you're doing that on tell somebody. You know, at least you try, don't you?
Well, yeah, I try, and I wish I could do more local stuff. I'm somewhat restricted in my time and availability to do that, but I'm not sure how long I can keep doing this show. It's kind of hard to do. Yeah. KKFI really needs more local news. All it takes is people to appreciate the potential of a 100,000-watt FM radio station and help us get more listeners. We don't have a promotion budget. We're almost all volunteer. I think there's 3 paid employees. But if people would appreciate the value of broadcast radio like KCPT did, that they've already got a couple $1 million worth of radio that they don't have to come up with a couple $1 million to buy. They just need to get involved with it and make it happen, and it can be done.
What if we had more hard-hitting journalism? More local stories, more quality kids shows, more independent voices.
What if we had more people telling their friends about the vital information they hear on KKFI? What if we had more listeners supporting community radio in Kansas City and the surrounding area? Most of the nearly 2 million people our 100,000-watt transmitter can reach have never heard of us. What if more people helped us get more hard-hitting journalism and more local stories on the air on KKFI? What if more people realized the potential of KKFI and got involved in trying to reach that potential?
What if We had less celebrity fluff, less mind-numbing advertising, less partisan shouting, less junk TV. We need more public media, better public media, new public media, now.
Eco Radio KC, The Jaws of Justice, Mic Check Radio, all came about because people like you got involved and made them happen. But I believe we still need regular local news and a local media watchdog show modeled after fairness and accuracy in reporting's counterspin. What if? Indeed. This is Tom Clamer, and we've been listening to Michael Cadell of Blog Talk Radio Free Kansas. Let's get back to it.
Yeah, that was, they really went out on a limb. I mean, yeah, for pointing, electing me the communication chair of the Kansas Progressive Caucus. But, you know, this is one of the things I think the Kansas Democratic Party has gotten slapped down and dragged out so badly by the recent elections in the last 4 years, I'd say, and the betrayals of many of the people who are really sort of part of the corporate, I would call them the neoliberals or the Clintonistas. The Clintonistas have hurt them. I don't know why Democrats run to the center the first thing they do, but they do. And but I was enamored that they elected me an unaffiliated independent voter. You know, my question to both parties in Kansas, and I do get to talk to lawmakers and some of the bigwigs in both the parties. You know what my most often asked question to them are, Tom?
Let's hear it.
Is there room enough in Kansas for a Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont? Is there room in Kansas for an independent democratic socialist type person of persuasion in the state of in the body politics in the state of Kansas? There, you know, that's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting to bring in not necessarily a third party, although I've had a lot of people tell me that, to bring this in. And I'm having to come out and stumble over these Koch libertarians. They're not even real libertarians. Got a lot of great, the libertarians and some members of the Tea, elements of the Tea Party have some great stuff, but I've had this, I've stumbled over them because largely a large number of them do not know what they're talking about. They're historical amnesiacs, many of them. When I'm mad at them, I call them libertards, Coke stooges, some of them are just under the full sway of some of these theocratic fascists, like Governor Brownback and others who use the Christian religion in order to get votes, like demagogues, and then abuse the poorest of the poor and the women in our state. And it just drives me. I just get so angry. My bias comes out in my talk with people with them, but they really are. The Koch billionaires have destroyed this state, and they're intent on destroying the country. And they've aided and abetted by what I call stooges for the American Legislative Exchange Council. And they're libertarian bastardy, that's what I call them. Ideologically, they're not really part of the strong libertarian roots of dating back to the English Civil War and the Scottish Enlightenment. What Professor Noam Chomsky calls himself a socialist libertarian. These people have no concept whatsoever. They've bastardized the libertarianism, turned it into upside down into an instrument and a tool to be used by plutocratic billionaires like the Koch brothers in out of Wichita. And they're making fools of the Republicans who are following them in the Kansas Republican Party. So I was honored that there are some open-minded and free-thinking people in the Kansas Democratic Party willing to take the risk of putting me on as Kansas Progressive Caucus communications chair. But I mean, you know, that's where I'm from, is that I'm angry at the tide of this isn't really conservatism that's going on in state politics, Tom. This is not conservatism. This is the worst of, this is terrible.
Yeah.
What's happening in Kansas state politics.
And did you say you're in this capacity as a communications person, you're asking these legislators, is there room for a Bernie Sanders type? What kind of answers are you getting from them?
They sort of fall over themselves. Now, to the credit of some of the Kansas, they call themselves moderates. That doesn't mean they're really moderates, but what they are is all getting stabbed in the back. These Kansas Republican politicians are getting stabbed in the back politically, ran out of office by these Koch libertarian types, which are really sort of the rise of the new Confederates. A political scientist out of KU, his name's Burdette Loomis. He's widely published in the newspapers. Burdette Loomis calls, I think it's soft or silent secession. These people are literally doing what the Koch billionaires and plutocrats want. They're taking us out of the federal union, the federal union form of government, the federal government. They're moving us towards the crazy stuff of cessation, as Texas and other states are doing. And that's what Brownback wants to cut the income tax. He's letting the rich get off scot-free, the most rich, they just finished that 99-day marathon session of the state legislature and walked away with a 0.15 tax. It's not a tax cut, no matter what he says. It's a sales tax, and the most of it comes from groceries. It's a sales tax on people like me who buy $160 worth of groceries and have to pay $12.45 in state sales tax. That's an actual figure. And that's what is pathetic. They're taking it literally out of the food of the working poor in this state. And it is sick. Only the real parasites are the plutocrats that Governor Brownback is enabling to take over the state government. And I got a lot of Kansas Republican politicians and members who are angry at this. And I'm going to let them have full throat on Radio Free Kansas. The voice of dissent is going to become unthrottled in Radio Free Kansas for people in Kansas who do not like the Kochs.
Yeah. Well, Mike Cadell, we've got a couple of minutes left. We're talking to Mike Cadell. Tell us again how to find your show and anything you want to say about what's coming up in the coming days and weeks.
Sure. Well, it's really simple. Google or use your favorite search engine and go to Radio Free Kansas. If you like to type in stuff in your browser, just type blogtalkradio/ Fighting Cockfire. But the easiest way is just use a search engine and go to Radio Free Kansas. And if you see Blog Talk Radio, Radio Free Kansas, go there, and it'll take you to our web pages there. And, the thing that I think that I want to pass on to your listeners in the Kansas City, Missouri area, and those that are listening on the live stream through KKFI radio, is that this is vitally important that the people in the community who support community radio. I've had Greg Palast on, and I know one of my best shows spun off, and I rebroadcasted Tell Somebody, of Greg Palast exposing the Koch billionaires. They're plutocrats. That's what they are. And if you're going to fight this new gilded age that we're going into, you're going to need community radio more than ever. You're not going to get this kind of hard-hitting exposures about the Koch billionaire plutocrats. And there's other ones. It's not just the Kochs that are deeply affecting the politics of our state governments and corrupting our politicians, our elected, local elected politicians. This is of vital importance that you support community radio, vitally important, especially as the threat of a second dip in a worldwide recession looms ahead.
Okay, well,
thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom Clammer, for having me on.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for your work. I hope some Tell Somebody listeners check it out, and we are going into pledge drive. My show will be next Tuesday. Think about tuning in next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and have your credit card ready to support your community radio station. Mike Cadell, hope to talk to you again soon.
Sure. But we're on the same side of the barricades, brother, on this one.
All right.
Take care. Take care, brother.
You too. Thanks a lot.
On the January 31st, 2011 edition of Tell Somebody, I started out the show with a call by Public Citizen to break up the Bank of America. I spoke with Public Citizen's Congress Watch Director, David Arkush, about their petition to the Federal Reserve and the Financial Stability Oversight Committee.
Bank of America right now is basically like a ticking time bomb. At any point, it could experience a financial crisis that would then sort of echo throughout the financial system and cause a U.S.-wide and, in fact, a global financial crisis. And basically, you can't allow that to exist, that situation where Bank of America could get into trouble and destroy the entire world economy. You got to end it. You got to make sure that never happens. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could. And make sure it never does by getting ahead of the problem and acting in advance and breaking the institution up. And the reason we look at Bank of America first as opposed to some of the other banks, and many of the other banks there's one U.S. bank that's larger, and several other banks are, you know, we can make basically the same arguments about them in terms of how big they are and how dangerous they are and how much they need to be broken up. Bank of America basically looks like it's the most dangerous and the closest to potentially actually running into serious financial problems.
On Democracy Now, 4 weeks ago, May 7, 2013...
New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has announced plans to sue Bank of America and Wells Fargo for violating the terms of a settlement aimed at curbing foreclosure abuses. The $26 billion settlement was reached last year between five major banks and 49 attorneys general. It provided basic protections for homeowners, such as requiring banks to notify them about missing documents within a certain time period. But Schneiderman said the banks had violated the terms of the settlement with impunity. At a news conference Monday, he lifted a massive sheaf of papers to show the hundreds of complaints issued by homeowners against the banks.
Two of the participating servicers, Wells Fargo and Bank of America, have flagrantly violated their obligations under the settlement. I've sent a letter to the monitoring committee, the body that oversees the implementation of the National Mortgage Servicing Settlement, notifying them of my intention to sue both Wells Fargo and Bank of America for noncompliance with servicing standards spelled out in the settlement. This enforcement action, which is the first taken under the settlement, is based on 339 individual complaints from New Yorkers against these two banks in just the last 6 months.
In a separate case, Bank of America will pay roughly $1.6 billion to settle years of litigation with the bond insurer MBIA, which had accused the bank and its countrywide unit of issuing risky loans that helped fuel the financial crisis. The settlement also grants Bank of America the right to buy a nearly 5% stake in the insurer.
And I could bring up countless other complaints against Bank of America. And what does public television in Kansas City, KCPT, have to say about Bank of America?
Live from the South Plaza of Union Station, Kansas City, welcome to the 11th annual Bank of America Celebration at the Station, presented by the Kansas City Symphony.
So before we play our final piece, I want to thank again Bank of America, all our friends at Bank of America, and all the sponsors will make this event possible. This Bank of America celebration at the station only happens through the hard work and dedication of all of those many people, and they are all integral in making this great event happen in our great city, and that makes me proud to live in Kansas City.
Well, that's it. We're out of time. You've been listening to the podcast edition of Tell Somebody, www.tellsomebody.us. Comments or questions? Send me an email to mail@tellsomebody.us. You can also follow me on Twitter at Tell Somebody Now. The Tell Somebody podcast is produced and distributed by Tell Somebody and may or may not reflect the broadcast of Tell Somebody, heard Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Central Time on 90.1 FM KKFI in Kansas City, streaming around the world at www.kkfi.org. If you haven't heard Tell Somebody before, I hope you'll listen again. Check out the podcast and the broadcast. Click on a tile at www.tellsomebody.us for a link to a past show. If you enjoyed the show and appreciated the information you got from it, please tell somebody about the podcast and the broadcast. Spread the word to your friends and contacts by word of mouth or Facebook, Twitter, email list, or any other way you can think of. Big thanks, as always, to Niloufar Movahedi. This is Tom Clamer. I'll see you next week on Tell Somebody.